And that's when Snoop Dogg goes, yeah, I got my IQ results back in. They were negative. I don't know what Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart were doing at Bob's Bar, but, you know, it was a good time. It was a good time.
Bob's Bar.
Bob's Bar. What's up, everybody? ZZP Power Hour number 158. Eight. Today we are talking about engines, understanding engine dynamics. Yeah. Drop your questions in the chat. We'll ramble for an hour, but if you guys have anything engine-related, turbo-related, sure, we'll extend it out.
So the first thing that came to my mind when we were talking about this podcast is two things. One of which, all horsepower is directly related to airflow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And fuel consumption. But the biggest thing that I want customers to maybe take away from anything I have to say today would be understanding how your mass airflow sensor works and your primary Bank 102 sensor works.
Before we get to that,
uh-huh.
Do we want to do featured products?
We sure do.
All right.
We got some mounts.
We got some fresh, machined, mm-hmm. some beautiful pieces here. What I'm holding in my hand is something that I've been waiting for a long time, and I know a couple guys in the chat is our F-35 upper trans mount. It's here. It's ready.
Yeah.
It's on the site.
It's pretty.
It's pretty.
It is.
It's cool. It's
a cool
piece. I like
how the guys leave the machining marks on it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, a lot of people don't like that, but mm-hmm. I like the look of
yeah, I like the
CNC
raw
machining.
You can see what, you know, obviously in the live stream you probably can't, but the back of the mount is cool. The top.
It's a shame you got to put your fuse box over top.
It is. It is.
You can still see it peeking down there.
Our old school ZZP products, we used to put them in a tumbler that like you, it was like a big vat. Yeah. Of let's say rocks, they're like not rocks.
Of media,
but it's an easy way to envision this is like and imagine a big vat of rocks, and you just throw the aluminum part in it, and it just shakes the crap out of it.
Yeah,
it just shakes for hours,
knocks
and then
the
it
shine
comes
off.
Yeah,
it comes out, and they're
it's
all
like fancy,
dull,
fancy
and
rock tumbler. You know,
basically a rock tumbler.
Yeah.
Yes,
kind of like a sandblast.
Yeah,
I like the machine. Actual machine finish much mm-hmm. better than our old stuff. So
yeah, and that mount also uses some of our standard inserts. So
yeah,
when and if they get knocked out, or if you want something softer or harder, we probably have something kicking around.
Same centerpiece as the Ecotec engine mount.
Mm-hmm.
Uses the same durometer of bushing.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually got one in the works for the Sonic too.
Hey,
that's true.
This mount has actually been a problem child for us in the install department for a while because we do run into them being very worn. So
it is the weakest one on the Cobalt. I mean, you take that even a fresh one, you take it out, you can spin it like this.
Yep.
So keeping that trans in one place is big, which leads us to the next one.
We got more transmission mounts. This is a Gen 1 Cruise front upgraded mount, and we are going to be putting this on our Yeti Cruise this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And literally putting it to the test, resetting the cruise world record.
Yep.
Not sure what it is, but
I was instructed to put a couple 1.4s on kill mode next week.
Yeah.
So we'll
April
hopefully be taking some records.
Six.
Yep. Yep. Our local track it's their spring opener, so we're taking a LTG car, we're taking a couple of 1.4 cars. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get Tyler to take an LTG car.
Yeah,
my slicks are, since I blew up my ATSB, my slicks don't need to be used. So you might as well put them on your Camaro and run some passes.
Yeah, that car needs a tire. So.
Yeah.
Randy's probably going to be driving the Blue Turd Sonic.
Yep.
I'm going to take Yeti Cruise. We're probably going to take one set of drag radials. Put them on Randy's car. He's going to set a record. We're going to take them off Randy's car, put them on the cruise, and then I'll set a record. And then we'll sit around while maybe Matt sets some records. So kidding. We might all break. Who knows?
He only needs one pass. So, you know.
Yeah, Matt only needs one pass. So
sometimes two. Yeah. Sometimes two.
But
I'm pretty excited about it because the last time that, the Yeti's never been on the
never
drag strip.
Been to the drag strip. Mm-hmm.
And our Blue Sonic was, man, that thing was like fresh on a KO4.
It was like it was on a ZO4 for like about 8 hours.
Yeah.
We made 244 wheel horsepower on the dyno. Didn't even have time to build a tranny file for it because I was manually button shifting it, and I think it went 13.2 or something.
Mm-hmm. 13.4.
And don't do that to me. 13.4.
You'll go 12.9
now. We're mid 13s. We're real cocky about going 12-9, but we haven't really changed anything since that 13-4 besides a proper transpile, which no offense, we'll probably do it. So
yeah.
Worst case, we'll have a toolkit there and just start taking weight out of it until it runs the time we need.
but you definitely got to go full weight first.
Yeah.
Like, definitely do the full weight thing.
Yeah, it's just nice to show up and know it runs full weight, you know.
And it's I put it up on the converter the other day. It gets some boost
going. It's spicy. You know, I shouldn't say we haven't changed anything, because I think our tuning has come leaps and bounds. And, you know, that was like day one Z04.
Four years ago.
Yeah, we made it work and then just took it and then never followed up with that. So we've just been tuning on that thing basically ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a lot of maintenance, too. We haven't changed anything, but we've done a lot of maintenance, and that does make a big difference on how a car performs. So.
Yeah,
yeah, certainly does.
Yeah, just having everything fresh and tight.
Yeah, is nice. I mean, we even got into that's the only automatic transmission we've ever gotten into too.
Mm-hmm. Not
because
right.
Not because it was broke, but we just were worried and wanted to check things out and refresh some stuff while we were in there too. So it's really dialed in right now. Still on a stock engine, Z04 with all the bolt-ons.
It's got a lot of miles on it too.
A lot.
The Z04 itself does. The chassis has like 140 on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that ain't bad.
But yeah, that was our very first Z04 car.
One note on the tranny mounts and all the mounts. Please hear me out, you guys. When it comes to tranny mounts and engine mounts, do one at a time.
Yeah.
And as soon as you achieve the amount of vibration that you can handle, then stop.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do is go from all like used mounts to like all solid mounts.
Yeah.
It's just, you're going to be like, what did I do to my car? And you're going to be like undoing. So put one on at a time.
Speedo, we are certainly looking into low pressure fuel stuff for the LTG front wheel drive applications. The issue we're having right now is the Regal and the Malibu are different. Your car went way farther than we've had any Regals go. So just consider yourself lucky that you've already gone that as far as you have. But yeah, it's definitely on our radar. We don't have a Malibu. You know, maybe I'll shoot you a message.
Becky's got a Malibu.
Yeah, Becky's car. It's got like 240,000 miles on it. But
his is actually the newer generation.
Oh, that. Yeah. Hers is a 13 or 14. I don't know.
We're going to have to look at both. Yes, Sebastian, F40 variant following the F35 variant.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Derrick super agreed to get his hands on one of those.
His grubby little paws on a new mod. I mean, who doesn't love them? But anyway, back to engine dynamics. You were about to say something, Bo.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it doesn't have...
I'm so excited about this, too.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter how good your engine is. Let's say you build the top of the line. I know you 3,800 guys love to bore and hone and blueprint and port and polish everything under the sun. But then, like, you know, we put it together and we overlook, like, some major key factors of how the PCM determines how to operate this engine that we just spent a lot of time on. And there's two very important sensors, and it's the MAP sensor and the primary O2 sensor.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on 3800 and LSJ stuff. That's basically all they use for a lot of their fueling references. So the key is we don't have any leaks between those sensors. You know, whatever the airflow sensor is seeing for airflow is, you know, determines what kind of
fueling. Determines everything.
It determines the fueling for the engine. So, and the O2 sensor also is reporting back saying, yeah, we're good. So now as soon as we introduce a leak between those two, they're constantly conflicting each other's reportings and usually just starts getting things worse because now the mass airflow adds more and the O2 sensor command, if we had a leak in between, you know, I'm seeing all this extra airflow that is pulling in through the intake gasket or the supercharger gasket.
It's just pulling in that unmetered air. So.
You know, here's a good way to put it. Like, your MAP sensor should read all of the air going into the engine.
Mm-hmm.
There should
be all of it.
Air coming in anywhere else but through that air intake through the mass airflow sensor. So let's say you do have a leak. Let's say you pull a vacuum line off, a vacuum line breaks, cracks, plastic T cracks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have a leak. Do not forget that, number one, there is unmetered air getting into the engine. The O2 sensor sees that,
But the math has not.
Sees it as lean.
The O2 sensor sees it as lean, mm-hmm. and the ECM commands more fuel. Now that vacuum leak, when you're at full throttle, is a boost leak.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So the ECM is commanding extra fuel because of this unmetered air getting in. And then when you floor it and it switches to boost, now boost is pushing out instead of sucking in. Mm-hmm. So the ECM has not only added extra fuel, there isn't even all the air that the mass airflow sensor
it's
saw.
It's a double negative.
Making it in. And now you're double rich.
It's double mm-hmm. negative on this whole situation. The ECM's unfortunately not smart enough to figure out what's happening.
No.
You will have an extremely, extremely poor driving car, extremely mm-hmm. poor performing car, mm-hmm. bad gas mileage, with even a 5 to 10% inconsistency of, you know, what the mass airflow should be seeing. And these air leaks can be anywhere after
any connection.
It can be your intake pipe, you know, your fresh air inlet for the PCV. Mm-hmm. It could be your brake booster, the fitting on your brake booster.
It could be the coupler you forgot to tighten.
It could be your cash can dipstick, which we've seen a lot lately.
Yeah. Yep. It could, like, and when I say the coupler you forgot to tighten, like, all of us make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I make mistakes. Like I'm a car guy from like 20 some years, and I still, like, you know, just yesterday I was messing with a car, and I get back to my tool bench, put my tools away, and I'm like, oh, that's the wrench to tighten the coupler to the air intake. Why is it in here and not at the car?
Yeah.
Go out to the car. I just crammed the intake on, didn't tighten the clamp.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like everybody makes mistakes, and it's very easy to make a mistake, like forgetting to tighten one couple.
And when your tuner says, find the vacuum leak, it doesn't mean just look. It
doesn't mean open the hood and look
you
around.
You can't find a vacuum leak by looking at
things. Yep, I looked at stuff. It looks great. And it's not, you know, we're not saying this from a, oh, you do better standpoint. It's, we can't do our jobs until you do yours and make sure that everything is sealed.
Ultimately, we know how much better your results are going to be if you do find that vacuum leak mm-hmm. because the car's just going to be responsive. It's going to be accurate.
It'll idle well.
Oh, it's going to do everything well.
Think about this also. Every engine has different situations where there's more or less vacuum. Mm-hmm. A vacuum leak, when you're under like a high load situation, a vacuum leak is like a really big leak. Or if it's just an idle, or if you're just cruising, it's like a smaller leak. Like, that leak is changing all the time. And the ECM cannot predict that.
No.
Yeah.
It's always constantly having to adjust for it after it sees it.
The ECM is great at doing its job, but it operates within its parameters always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no more and no less that it can do.
And we've got it pretty well off. You know, GM stuff being math-based mm-hmm. makes tuning particularly easier than working through an entire VE table, and we still do that anyway, but it's air coming in, air going out.
Yeah,
it's,
engines it's are just big, the big air pumps. Big air pumps. Air goes in, air goes out.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, that's my biggest gambit to get out of the way, I guess, on the dynamics and airflow stuff. It's extremely important.
Oh, and another one, let's add this one. When you get a lean code or a rich code, that doesn't mean your car is lean or rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've made this video before, but it needs to be
leak. Could be real
said again.
It's funny because like you throw that 171 lean code, mm-hmm. and your car is actually rich as balls.
Full throttle.
Yeah.
Or even at idle, like everything's
messed
up.
Well, at idle, the car is always perfect.
Yeah.
Unless you have a brake booster hose leak off. Like, the car is always perfect because the O2 is reporting to the ECM, and that ECM is commanding upwards of 60% of extra fuel.
Yeah.
So, like, it's that car is at stoic, at idle and cruise. Mm-hmm. At full throttle, who knows? Because there's very few vehicles we work on are actually closed loop at full throttle. Mm-hmm. 16 plus LTG, LNF.
Ahead of its time.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Like, even the badass ATS-V, like, that is still not a wideband car. That is still a narrowband O2 car. Like,
the little 2008 Cobalt SS, GM was like, yeah, this needs a wideband.
The rest,
450 horsepower ATS-V? Nah, narrowbands are fine.
Other than that, super active switching O2s, you know, good OE.
Very good.
style, not some Amazon replacement O2 sensor is super important too, because that can also
And on the same point, MAF sensors. I've seen
The issue
AutoZone MAFs are way different.
One thing a lot of guys love to do is they have that vacuum leak. They are just throwing the parts cannon at it. They change the MAF sensor, and they still have a vacuum leak. And now they just installed a MAF sensor that's worse than the one that they had. Then they never go back to that old one because, you know, it's got a new one.
Mm-hmm.
We're super big about OEM sensors around here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I remember when Bill Kish and I started tuning his car and we were having O2 sensor issues. And I'm like, go to the junkyard, pull one, man.
Yeah, that, I tell people that all the time. I would rather put a used 100,000-mile OEM MAF sensor in my vehicle than a brand new one from any parts store that you can name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with an AC Delco name, AC Delco is not necessarily an OEM.
Yeah.
They're just a manufacturer.
Yeah. Like, I got my little goodie box at home. It's got my O2s in it. It's got my, you know, my MAFs in it. They're all good.
I have so many MAFs because every time I go to the junkyard, I just two little screws.
This is going
to
be a nickel.
You guys are not doing yourselves a favor by replacing the MAF sensor or O2 sensor unless your tuner says so.
Yeah.
Like,
they basically never fail.
It happens.
The O2 does.
O2 goes.
MAFs every week, there's at least a couple people a week are like, oh, I'm putting a new O2 sensor. And I'm like, why?
Why? This one works.
Like, this one's working fine. Don't touch it. Like, you don't need to spend money on that. If that O2 is switching at idle and cruise, I'm happy. And and that's kind of all that matters. If your tuner is happy, if Tyler, Bo, me, Matt are happy, then you're good.
Yeah, if we don't mention it, it's good.
Yeah, and leave it alone. And the big thing is, you know, maybe let's say it's your first time you did put together a build, and we do have some things to check, you know. So, like, the first 2-3 emails are us working out a vacuum leak. Maybe after that your fuel pressure is a little spotty. Don't feel bad if our first 10 emails are just sorting the car out, because that's going to make the next 3 revisions way more effective.
Instead of
not fixing the problems and spending 30 revisions just chasing our tails, it's better to just, like, get things to square one, make sure the data looks good, and then we'll go from there, and everything will just be much smoother.
Yeah. Yeah, once you get everything ironed out, and you get that first scan back, and the short-term trims are just like this, and the red line's right in the center, feels so good.
That, and when we tell you there's a vacuum leak, it is not because we don't want to tune your car. It is not because, like, that just gets you off of our email screen or anything like that. There's a problem. Go fix the problem.
And then
we continue.
I'm speaking for myself, but I'm pretty sure I'm speaking for all of us tuners here. Like, I love tuning cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather build an update than tell you how to.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I want to open a scan. I want to look at the scan and be like, all right, cool. Yeah. How
Suckers
can I make this
working,
better?
Dude.
Plus,
Suckers
plus,
working.
Plus.
Let's go.
plus. Good to go.
Michael Bat, or who said it? Somebody was asking what we were drinking. We got Old Fashions made by Big M himself.
Mm-hmm.
They are always great. Chunkier mango.
Oh, so thousands. That's who Big M is. Mike.
Yeah.
Big M. Mike's not that big.
No, he's not.
Skinny.
He's not. But
he's tall.
Skinny.
Working on that. 1,000 wheel, 3,800. I don't think Matt's car ever made 1,000 wheel. It definitely made 1,000 crank.
Yeah.
Because it made what? Mid 800s on the
dyno
way
he
made back,
like,
in the day.
Didn't he make 860? I'm
sure
Matt's,
I thought the
in
number
here
was 870.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, Matt can hopefully Matt's listening and he can chime in, but he's made over 800 in,
like,
that car.
His fastest time is like an 870, and it's made like 870.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I remember as well.
Yeah, but I mean,
not like perfectly lined up.
What's funny, and hopefully you can chime in on this too, is, like, the car at like 22 pounds sounds not as fast as at like 26 or 28 pounds, let's say, but like. It sounds sweet at the higher boost, but it runs the same times.
Yep.
Because it just the converter just eats all
its
power.
Yeah, that 4T is just soaking,
like,
it all up.
890 is over 1,000 crank.
Oh yeah. Well, that 1465 has got to be gobbling up 50%.
Yeah.
It's
like,
Paul, there's not necessarily a pounds per minute limit of a math were limited in the table in the PCM. Mm-hmm. The LSJ is 11,100 hertz. So what that means is basically just you can increase the diameter of your pipe. Mm-hmm. So,
but then you lose resolution.
Yeah, then you lose resolution. So realistically, like on E85 and a 3-inch pipe, 400 is pretty reasonable. And then we have the HPX math, which is great because, like Randy said, you lose resolution when you start stepping up your pipe size, but that HPX just cuts everything in half, so you can make way more and still have, because I was actually just explaining to Erica the other day, the only downside of HP tuners and the way that our PCMs are set up is, at least in the LSJ, the jumps in between cells are fairly large. So sometimes you end up in like a, you know, there's a 2700 cell and then there's a 3000 cell, but sometimes that car is in that 2800, 2850 range, and you're in between the two values where really it would be great if we had one more cell in between those. But yeah, so realistically, you know, on your blower car, on the Goblin, we won't have to worry about it.
Oh man, we need to finish Paul's tune.
I know.
Too.
Like,
also, yeah, we might Paul's be able to finish that tune in person.
Yes. Oh, that'd be great.
Because we might be seeing that one soon. We'll
see
what happens.
Yeah, any blower LSJ, you're good on the stock math. So
yeah,
My favorite math for the 3800 is the LQ4. If you don't have an LQ4 on your 3800, what
go
are you
get
doing?
One.
What are you doing? It's good for any M90 power. So I've personally never had to put an AFC on an LQ4 with a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Zoomer's car is
Zoom's
on
car
a...
makes 400 wheel through a 4-inch intake.
That'd be a good
and
car to see at the track this year.
Yeah.
Ooh, we haven't heard it at the track with the equalizer on it. And I'm taking the cap back off.
All right. No, leave it on. It sounds so
We're
good.
We're actually just going to make a Zoomer.
I don't think it's
going to
sound bad with the cap back off.
No, it'll probably still sound pretty good.
It's going to sound like Matt's car.
Real exotic for a V6.
Brad, Erica didn't have much to say about that. I was explaining math resolution, and she's just like, yep, cool.
Yep. I could imagine Erica just being like, okay. And then on to the next subject.
Kyla just cuts me off when we talk about cars.
Like, that's great.
She's like, yeah, I just don't care at all. And I'm like, all right, but, cool. Okay. But I need you to just be a wall.
Yeah, let me talk at you.
Katie does the same thing to me. I just talk about cars, and she's like, that's nice. That's great. Yeah, thanks for sharing this with me. Oh, sorry. Jesse, we're working on some things. Need some new 1.4 mods. We've got things going on in the background.
Yeah, Randy's car might be going together with some things.
Yeah, some
you
things,
know.
Some stuff. It should be.
Ooh.
That's
yeah.
That's a hell of a pickup.
D-Burst ATS-V. Where to start? A tune.
Man. Tune for sure.
Tune downpipes, baby.
Yep.
Down yeah. Oh, no tunes. Kidding.
That's awesome.
Heck yeah. Is that Devin? Is that
oh,
Mr. Devin
Burst
right there?
That is awesome, sir.
Come talk to me, man.
Oh man, yeah, that's brother. He's got the Impala, yeah.
I was putting the pressure on him last year to buy one, so I'm pretty excited about
that.
That
is my next vehicle purchase, so I'm not far behind.
Yeah.
Oh, we do. It's probably a little
outdated.
It's a little old, but I don't know if the top five mods have actually changed
probably
yet.
Probably not.
We haven't really made anything that like is
our
like,
stage
oh, crap,
kit's a super good start.
We yeah, our stage kit and a tune is really good start, and then a fuel pump lobe, and then probably just an I don't know like didn't we do an aux kit on an ATS-V without the fuel pump lobe?
No, that's just your dreams wanting.
I kind of want to try that. I want to try an aux kit on an ATS-V without the fuel pump lobe
oh,
and see
he
how
said
that works.
He is not the same guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not developers.
So not
but still,
blown.
We're still excited.
That's awesome.
Thought you were
still
a local
excited.
Buddy of
Darn.
Ours.
ATS-V is such a good car. Like Bo said, downpipes and a tune should be like the first
yeah.
mod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna have big. Oh,
are y'all going to 131 for streetcar takeover? Come on, Speedo. You know we're
gonna
be.
Come on. Yeah. That's all
we
talk about every week.
It's our favorite event of the year. I wanted to grab Nicholas Hammond. The clutch master cylinders do fail. If you think it is your clutch master cylinder, sit in the car and give your biggest womp with your big left foot on that clutch master cylinder. If the clutch comes back, then you know the clutch master cylinder has failed. They've got seals that'll go bad.
Yeah, it's like a little diaphragm and a bore.
Yep, and if you hit it hard enough, you'll get it back for one or two pumps, and then it'll go back away. So try that. Hopefully it's not the throwout bearing, because the clutch master is not fun to replace, but it's a little easier than pulling a trans.
Yeah. That.
Saw a couple questions about different engines. The 2.7 turbo, which is in the CT5V, the Silverado, the Colorado, all those. And then the LSY, which is the base model 2-liter turbo engine. And we haven't had any experience with them.
Yep. Especially the LSY, like...
yeah, they were, you know, they reduced power output. We haven't heard of the failures like the LTG has, but, you know, the one thing that we do know is it's based on GM's new SGE class of engines, which is...
family of engines,
which is the small gas engines. The 1.4 in the LE2 in the second gen Cruze is the same architecture as that LSY. So based on what we've seen of that, I would think it'd probably be a pretty decent 2-liter engine. But the biggest hurdle is just tuning. And, you know, those new Global B cars are, what is it, $1,600 to unlock through HP tuners now?
It's a pretty penny.
Yeah. Why won't the ZZP intercooler pump work for the ATS-V? The V uses a PWM-controlled pump.
Pulse width modulated.
Yep.
It's a ZZP intercooler pump could work for your ATS-V. It's just not recommended. The factory pump's super good.
I would imagine the factory pump is probably better since it's a brushless pump than the ZZP pump. The factory ATS-V pump is pretty awesome. And very rarely do they fail, because that ECM is so smart that when it senses air in the system, it just shuts the pump off. So just like wild.
Imagine how few LSJ intercooler pumps we would sell if they could do that. Because that's how they'll burn them all up.
With the LE2 stuff, haven't we given you enough lately?
I finally gave him a revision, and he's finally running that billet one on his car.
He
like
is.
Today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Revision one went out early this week, and then he finally sent me a scan today, and I sent him like a second revision scan back.
And
so we're
I'll have
good.
You know, Preston, Tim did not send you that. I sent you that.
He definitely sent that to you, because Preston emailed me and he's like, hey, I got a wastegate. Thanks. And I was like, oh,
Tim was like, Randy, what happened? And I was like, oh, I sent a thing to try on.
Yeah,
the car.
I do.
Oh,
I mean, what I'm more excited about with Preston is he's buying my old Sky.
Yeah,
I am so excited about that. Like, I overbuild cars so much, and I'm always so disgusted with all my friends for not buying my damn cars. And this Kappa is such an overbuilt car, and finally, like, somebody I like is gonna own it. I'm so freaking excited.
Yeah,
he's just waiting for Kelly, the guy that bought it from me, to get it out of storage. It's just like behind and stuck in storage.
And since we have Preston here, probably drive it around on that extrude hone KO4 first.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what he's planning on doing.
Okay. Don't just slap your Z54 on there all willy nilly. It's a good setup. So.
And Preston, we have another product that's going to be hit on the website next week that you're going to need for that Sky.
The whole reason I sold the Sky was because I couldn't keep a rear end in it with my foot. So, you're going to want a reinforced rear axle mount that we are going to be releasing here in the very, very near future.
Mm-hmm.
It's beefy. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty
what
cool
is
piece.
So we are getting way far
Sorry,
off from engines,
way
but
off engines.
Oh, yeah. Last thing. Boys. Oh my goodness, 4:30. But the one thing I want to say, how weird for GM to use the CTS V1 diff. Or is it the V2?
It's a V2 diff.
They slash all like STS and
but
like
they all disintegrate. But back to engines. I mentioned it earlier, the LE2 has been a nice, surprising breath of fresh air of a good engine again. Because we've been working on the LTGs for so long, and in recipe form, they should be a phenomenal package, but they're just not as reliable as we would like. And then we get into the LE2, which is, you know, a little 1.4 liter, and It's been great.
Haven't ran out of injector.
Haven't. It's really one of those breakthrough platforms from us. It's like, oh, you're going to make this easy on us.
The ATS because we ran us through the ringer. That engine is like we're pulling them apart weekly and trying different things mm-hmm. to try to figure out why the LTG blows up so much. And like, you know, we figured out a few things.
Yeah.
Not just one thing. Like we figured out a few things that make them way better, but we still haven't solved it.
The key. But, we haven't put the key in the door and just unlocked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't found that one thing that's like,
I'm super excited about a project we're working on this week. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's going to do some good things for stock engine operation, too.
Excellent.
True.
Which is where we're at. We want these LTGs to operate closer to how an LNF does in stock form. You know, we don't want to have to forge everything just to make 300 wheel horsepower.
I mean, as much as we like building engines and doing cool stuff, like, we don't want to have to
it's so nice to be able to tell a customer, yeah, especially an LSJ, like, oh yeah, just buy the turbo kit, throw it on, your engine's good. LTG cars, it's like,
and
well,
in retrospect, we might have been a little spoiled with the LSJs and the LNFs, like, oh, just toss us
and
on
the 3800, like, and same 3800s,
yeah, like,
man, that freaking LNF, like, I think that's probably the best engineered engine I've ever been involved with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the LNF engine, incredible. Like, what are you going to complain about? Okay, they have porous blocks sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have a porous block. But, like, every car, every engine has some huge problem with it. And, like, in the blocks, you know, they fixed it. You know, they got the Gen 3 block from the, you know, in the Regals. Mm-hmm. You just, like, swap blocks to that one, and then you're good to go.
It is crazy how great that engine is and how limited of production it really was.
Yeah.
And how early it was. I mean, 2008, it was, or 2007 in the Kappas, was GM's first foray into direct injection.
They literally closed the 3800 book.
They did.
Opened up with that, which was a perfect, you know, predecessor. And then they're like, well, it's 2012, 13. We don't need it.
Yeah, we don't need it.
And we only put it in, like, two cars through those years?
Three cars.
Three.
Including the Regal.
Yeah.
And
the Regal, so four. But and the way that engine operates and works, you look at it from a number standpoint, the head flow is terrible.
Yeah.
It's got a small,
like, on paper, you're like, this has got to be terrible, right?
I mean, as far as engine dynamics goes, the LNF wins all the categories.
Absolutely.
So, perfect example, Sarah, my girlfriend, drives a 5.3 liter cammed E85 full bolt-on Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. And then she gets in her stock HHRSS.
With a tune.
And she's like, this thing fast.
This thing
I'm like, you're dang right it does. Because it is, like, it's wild.
And they get great gas mileage.
Yeah, we were just talking on lunch. Average. I get in that car and you click over to the average, it's like 28.5.
That's ridiculous. In a brick with an auto transmission.
In 220,000 miles. Like, it's not like it's a new crispy engine either.
It's so frustrating because the LNF engine, like, if you just put a tune on it, it's like 300 wheel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it gets over 30 miles a gallon in a Cobalt.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Ridiculous. My LTG Regal gets, like, super low 20s on gas.
Let's be real. It's teens, bro.
Being super, it's teens, bro. Super nice.
It's so teens.
It's pretty much teens. Like,
and I've heard people say that, like, oh, yeah, they went from the LNF and the LHU to the LTG because of emissions reasons. It's not better.
No.
It's not better. Nope. Maybe it...
Like, you guys, like, imagine this. Okay, you got a Regal GS. Regal GS with the LTG, and you put a tune on it. And then you got a Cobalt SS with just a tune on it.
Yeah.
What car do you think is going to win?
The Cobalt.
By
like, three bus lengths.
By bus lengths.
Yeah.
Not car lengths, bus lengths.
Yeah, it's like, incredible. It's
freaking Cobalt. It's like an LNF Cobalt. It's like one of the... I would like to... You know what? I want to compare an LNF Cobalt to that dang Mercedes.
The E43 AMG.
Yeah, the CLA 43 AMG. Like, that's what, 300 and something horse, four-cylinder, two-liter?
Yeah, 340 or something like that.
Like, I'm curious if the CLA, like, if it gains very much with the tune.
Yeah.
Like, they might have it, they might already have it turned up because, you know, from what I hear, you know, rumors is that they tuned the Cobalt SS down because it was like kicking the Corvette's ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't want to interrupt you. I hear Speedo saying he's getting 29 to 30 in his Malibu, which is very interesting because I was just talking to a customer the other day. He has two LTGs and he has an ATS and he has a Malibu.
Okay.
We're building up the ATS and he's worried about gas mileage and wants 400 horsepower. I'm like, you know, we're talking and he's like, well, my Malibu gets, I get like 30. And I'm like, have you hand calculated it?
Yeah.
And he goes, I have. And so it's interesting to hear Speedo say the same thing. I wonder if there's some crazy gearing in that transmission. Or that newer style Malibu is just like super aerodynamic.
Yeah, better drag coefficient.
ATSs and the CTSs have different gear ratios. There's at least three different gear ratios between those two cars.
Yep.
Those are the rear-wheel drive platform. And then the front-wheel drive and all-wheel drives have at least three different gear ratios.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at Mr. Malakad's file, and he's got some weird gear ratio in that I haven't seen yet. I thought that was interesting. So there's many different gear ratios. It's very possible Malibu has a tall gear final drive in it.
Yeah.
We should check your gear ratio compared to a Malibu gear ratio.
I mean, mine's like a 346 or something like that. Like, it's an all-wheel drive Regal.
Which,
I mean, it's over a 4,000-pound car, if I recall.
You know what? And his car is a front-wheel. The Malibus are front-wheel drive, too. So
yeah.
Well, front-wheel drive is going to have a taller gear because it's two-wheel drive than, like, an all-wheel drive car.
Yeah.
So.
The weak spot on the LTG, the factory ring gap is tight. But in comparison to new engines in other platforms, it's not that much tighter.
No.
But in stock form, the ringland's braking is the biggest issue. I mean, you can run it on come and go 87 or Shell 93, and they still break.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was a factory recall for the LTGs where you'd go into GM and they'd install a colder spark plug.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if that tells you anything about the engine having detonation issues, then, I mean, if the manufacturer has a recall for a colder spark plug. Goodness.
Here's my gripe with the LTG.
It was like their little Band-Aid put in there. There you go.
my gripe
with
an LTG.
Get you through your warranty on those plugs.
I'll jump in a car. Bo will be like, here's a stage one kit on a ATS, let's say. Mm-hmm. Here, go tune it. So I jump in it, and I'll, you know, put a standard 1.0 file on it, which is a pretty low boost, pretty low timing. A file meant to turn it up after driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll drive it, and occasionally I'll have a car that spark knocks audibly, but has zero KR showing in the scan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how do you remote tune a vehicle that has a huge issue like that? Is it a knock sensor issue? Is it an ECM to knock sensor issue? Like,
is it the way that it calculates KR?
There's
a lot of different factors that go into it. And, you know, one thing as well is because of those emission things that GM has to hit, the different targets, they lug them around. The auto cars will be in sixth gear or eighth gear if you have an AA car doing 45 down 28th Street.
Yep.
Which, so you're, and as soon as you're in eighth or sixth or whatever it might be, and you get on it a little bit, you increase the boost, increase the cylinder pressure, but you've got, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it. And Zoom has taken a particular interest into the LTG, really nailing down what it could be, because again, on paper, GM got it so right with the LNF, and we can push that engine so far and make great power and good gas mileage. And realistically, you tear it apart, and it's not that different. I mean, they switched the head around. You know, the oil pump's driven differently, the balance shafts are different, but at the end of the day, it's an aluminum four-cylinder with the turbo on it. And so we're trying everything, and like Bo said, making incremental gains here and there, but we just haven't unlocked the secret yet, you know, what that is, so.
Yeah, I mean, we literally will have an L&F engine apart on a bench.
Next to an LTG.
An LTG and be like, huh, well, that's different. Let's just do that to the LTG. And then we'll put it together, and it's either negative gains or doesn't do what we want it to do. And we've done that multiple times. And it's just like, man, like this is not easy trying to figure this stuff out.
Yeah, it's something. I think I referenced last weekend, our success is related to bouncing from one failure to another failure without lack of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But it's really hard on that day thing. Because Randy said, we had it really easy before.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. If we're talking about engine and engine dynamics, talk about the hard rap that the 1.4 gets.
It's a killer engine.
Like,
yeah.
It leaks a little coolant here and there.
So... Yeah. The folks that haven't been following along, I drove my green car with a pretty messed up Ringland from here to North Carolina.
Ripped around the drag.
Beat on it pretty well.
Basically
on accident.
Broke it the day before, maybe. Yeah. Didn't know it.
Maybe. And then beat on it all weekend. Like, oh, if it breaks, it breaks. I'll leave it here and I'll figure it out later. And drove it all the way back to Michigan.
Yep.
And it broke on 28th.
And my biggest gripe... You know, there's not a lot of things that get me really riled up on the internet anymore, but especially somebody mentioned it earlier, that VinWiki video that got posted. Somebody in the comments was like, oh, they're talking about the 1.4 that's in the Cruze. That's the worst engine that GM's ever made. And yeah, I get it. Okay. GM bolted some cheap plastic to
it. Yeah, like you replaced three parts.
From a mechanic standpoint, it might be one of the best engines they've ever made.
Right?
I agree.
If you actually know how to turn a 10mm wrench, it's a great engine. Yeah. Like, there is very little fail points related to that engine, and they're all stuff that you can do in the afternoon in your garage.
Yeah.
Like,
timing system's easy.
Yeah.
Like, the whole... There's no balance shafts. It's just... It's... an engine in its simplest form.
Yeah. Well, and not to mention in the Cruze, there's like a mile around the whole dang thing to do anything you want.
Yeah, because they should have put a 2-liter in
there. It really is frustrating, though. Like, everybody's like, oh, the 1.4 is terrible. And it's like, no, it's not.
No.
Like, you revise a few components and, like, replace your radiator hoses at a recommended increment of, like, 100,000 miles, let's say.
Yeah.
And you're good to go.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I tune them weekly on 87 octane, like, you know, above stock performance on 87 still. Like, I mean, it's a great engine.
Like, it's literally replace your thermostat housing.
Yeah.
The water
replace
outlet.
Your
the water outlet. Neck,
and
the...
Replace your coolant reservoir.
Yep. And turbo. Radiator hoses.
Yeah. Do your radiator hoses done. Every 100,000 miles.
Yes.
And the and the turbo, which if you're buying a mod car, you want a bigger turbo anyway.
Yeah.
So like, get rid of that
junk is a great selling point for the 1.4 because that's how I bought my Buick. My Buick had an 0299 at the dealership and they were like, we can't fix it. It's going to need a new turbo. And I was like, guess who's putting a new turbo on that anyway? I'm going to take, you know, $2,500 off your price.
Yeah.
And buy the car.
And I mean, still to this day, our drag car on the dyno has made nearly 600. On the track has made... way more than 600. It's a stock block. Rods, pistons, valve springs, head studs, cams.
Yep.
And a big turbo.
And a turbo, yep.
What more can you
ask
for?
That's like Honda stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want from the 1.4 liter, dude? Like,
yeah, and I've rambled about it before, and I'll continue to ramble about it, but taking a 1.4 from a 17-second quarter mile... down to 12, dropping 5 seconds off your quarter mile with a Z04 and some weight reduction. What else can you do that in?
It's pretty crazy that thing runs 17 seconds in stock form.
Yeah.
They're so slow.
They are painfully slow.
Yeah. But
anyway, sorry, that was my 1.4 soapbox for
no,
for
I mean,
minutes.
It's great. Like, I mean, the right now we're working understand why, but we are just so invested in Valve Train lately. Yeah. I mean, I do understand why. It's a major key component to engine dynamics, but like we are just in the 3800 Valve Train. We're working everything. Yeah. We're 20 years deep on this platform, and we yeah. have new everything coming out for the 3800 mm-hmm. Valve Train. Same for the 1.4.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we are just tinkering on 1.4 Valve Train. We've done 1.4 Valve Train testing in a couple of different cars, and we're literally redoing it and going through the paces again just next week. Like, we've been 1.4 Valve Train testing all year.
Yeah.
And stuff that hasn't made it to your guys' hands yet, but is going to be super cool. And, you know, thanks to Tim for pushing the limits on that. And Tyler and the Dragsonic. But it's super cool to tinker on the valve trains in these engines, because there's super cool little room for improvements and mods that we can add. The tensioner upgrades that we've been yeah. doing in all the platforms has mm-hmm. been absolutely incredible. The material that we're using has added so much longevity.
It's freaking magical. It's yeah. added oil impregnated plastic that never seems to wear out. Like
it,
that
yeah,
green
never.
Stuff. Like
you just pull it
sell.
Out and it has zero wear.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is amazing.
It's so strong. It. Yeah. I mean, I think
it's never gonna break in half like an Ecotec timing chain mm-hmm. guy.
Well, it
does.
Was yeah. interesting because when I first started working here, it was very common to have an Ecotec timing chain failure.
Yep.
Yeah, we had them in all the time.
All the time. Yep. And, you know, I hate to say it, even if it was a newer engine, if the guys were pushing it, mm-hmm. we might break a guide.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a timing code, it comes in, man, that front guide's broke again. It yep. broke the bolt right off, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So we've upgraded that bolt and that guide, and I kid you not, we have not had a single Ecotec timing failure since.
No. Mm-hmm.
And then, like, we pull our stuff apart after 10,000 miles, and it still has machine marks in it. And now, you know, the stuff's been working so good, we're implementing it into all the other applications we can. It's super exciting to see.
And what I really like on the 1.4 valve train testing is, you know, we got into the 1.4 quite a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we made all our progress with the Z04 and the Dragsonic, and we found a bunch of failures. But at the beginning, it was an engine where it was like, oh, okay, you know, this isn't going to make a bunch of power. Like, we're going to make the mods, but nobody's really going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see the community, I mean, eating up everything. And these yeah, engines are great.
The 1.4 boys, we're coming up on the 3800 boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's going to happen. When you look at our metrics.
But it's going to yeah. happen. That is a very, it's a car that has a, it's very moddable.
Yeah. And we're now at a point where we're like, okay, well, we started our valve train 6-8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's relook at it. Yeah. We're at a point where we are double where we were at before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need to go through it again.
And like Tim and I go back and forth on a weekly basis about valve train stuff on yeah. the 1.4.
Yeah.
Like, we're in contacts with, you know, a couple big players in the game, just trying to figure out what more we can get.
Yeah,
out of it before.
I can't even hate on the fact that the 1.4s are starting to dominate over the 3800s
yep.
because you know what's crazy? The 1.4s are at the same price point these days.
Yeah.
If you want a good 3800, you're going to spend as much as on a 1.4, so I can't knock you guys
yep.
for getting it.
And they come in a manual. And the hatchback.
Manual.
And, yep. and to be honest, the aftermarket is just as fun and affordable.
Yeah.
And the technology is updated. Like the,
oh,
the
it's
car.
Overall, it's a, way nicer car.
It's a better
yeah.
chassis.
I mean, you can't argue with that.
It's a better chassis. I mean, it comes with a pretty good
just
sounding
as easy
radio.
To work on.
It's, you know, Bluetooth. I mean, the technology of the yeah. car, like it's a great
but
car.
But in a way, sorry.
No, go for it.
In a way, the 1.4 is kind of like a four-cylinder 3800.
Iron yeah. block.
Iron block. It's simple.
Yeah.
Like I said, no balance shafts. Like, it's just, adorable. Yeah, it's just yeah. this big
Gian,
instead
Gian
of this
gave
big.
You this perfect little gem, but had it all choked up.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then we're just like, perfect.
Yeah.
I'll take you, and I'm going to make you
hilarious
my little baby.
I'm putting together my engine right now. I put those pistons in the other day. Gosh, are they adorable.
They are so cute.
It's
I know. They're this big around.
They're 73
big
and a half
around.
Millimeters.
They're literally this big around.
400 plus horsepower this year.
Oh, my gosh.
It's and that being said, I am looking for a 3800. But I'm trying to get my grandma's PAU. That's what I really want.
Oof. That's everybody, man.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to get
grandma's PAU. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Chunkier Mango, for some reason, the 1.4, at least in a Sonic, is much less torque steer prone than a Cobalt. to me.
Yeah.
Especially if you have an LSD in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
They are straight as an arrow.
Even the auto doesn't dance at all.
No.
It usually just spins real hard into the rev limiter in 1-2. Tim knows what he's doing, though, so it goes through that just fine. And after that, it's clear.
Yeah.
It's just moving out.
And I saw maybe Matt, Captain Slow, asked about the auto sonics. I've been driving Turd lately.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
And,
it's
convenient. Yeti's even better.
Convenient.
Yeah, I need to look at the trans file on Yeti.
The auto definitely has a lot more parasitic loss than the manuals.
Yeah.
But, like, there is something to just putting it in drive and just hitting the gas pedal or the brake. Like, that's pretty nice. Like, I can't knock the auto.
Matt Meekoff, my grandmother is a saint.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
She is a saint. And I will take the valve stem cores out of your truck before I leave.
Jeff McGovern, yes, this right here is a solid front transmission mount for your cruise.
I didn't see his comment. He has an auto?
Yeah, he's got an auto.
Yeah,
buddy.
He's your competition for Yeti.
This could be yours, brother, but I'm unfortunately going to bolt it to our cruise and beat your time next week.
Sorry, Jeff.
And then we'll tell you one, and then you can beat it again.
We did give you an entire year.
Yeah. Yep. Tim backed me off last year, said, hey, let's see what happens. Yeah, we did. Yeah. We're coming for it. 12.9 is impressive, though. Super shouts to you. Yeah, we hate on you. It's only because we love you, buddy. It's fun to have some rivalry there, and honestly, 12.9 in a cruise that runs 17 seconds stock is
that's
a killer
impressive
feat. Yep. Shouts to you for putting together a good car and always working well with Tim. So, I don't know if it'll be in your mailbox next week, but in theory, these are ready to go. Besides bolting it on our car, figuring out
hardware.
Yeah,
I mentioned or I saw somebody grab on it earlier, you know, talking about LTGs. We don't dislike LTGs in any capacity.
I'm glad you're circling back to that.
I got in the Camaro last night, which is Z57 aux kit, E85, you know, full exhaust, literally everything we make, and that car is so much fun. Yeah. It is a gigantic monstrosity. That Camaro is so huge and you're so small in the cabin. But getting in it, and then I didn't take the highway home. I took that road over by Johnson Park, which has some nice little curves in it, and all the turbo noises were right, and the exhaust is good, and like, it's a great engine that can make some really good power. I mean, we've made over 650 on Alan Mayo's Camaro. Like,
it gets a bad rep, but it's just an engine that requires a lot of detail and some respect.
Yeah.
It's not an engine that you're going to be able to abuse and then keep coming back, and it's not going to keep coming back asking for more. Mm-hmm. And you know, it gets a bad rap too, because it's, I think the community, a lot of young kids might be getting into it for one of their first cars. So they don't know a lot about modding, and they don't know a lot about cars in general, maybe, which is okay.
Yeah.
We all started somewhere, literally.
Yep.
And, they might have it not on the best fuel. You know, it's an engine where if Tim buys one, you know, we talk about this a lot. If Tim buys one, which he has, and he puts his tune on it and he puts his good fuel in it and he puts all of the mods on it, he doesn't have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But in the wrong hands, it can be a problem. So you kind of got to treat it with some respect. And
it's definitely not a car you can buy and like remove the top speed limiter and go do three top speed.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, a 3800 can, and we've back to Randy's thing, we've been blessed in the past, and you know, we're just currently not, and it doesn't mean that it's not a good engine. It doesn't mean that we're not building good ones every day, and that we're not making horsepower with them every day. It's just, you know, we know that you guys get yourself into these situations, and we're just trying to prevent that effectively, because if you're happy with your car, you're happy with buying parts from us, and you know the relationship continues. So
yeah,
if I had any recommendation to anybody that was buying an LTG, is just pick it up, change the oil, put some Mobil 1 ESP in it, put some Denso Iridiums in it, make sure you got the best of the best fuel in it, and it's
and then
okay.
Email us.
Email us
and figure out what you need
go
to do.
From there. It's all right to floor the dang thing,
But don't do it with four dudes in the car expecting it to do 140 miles an hour because it has a turbo. It's not going to want to do that. Yeah. It is not. It literally might not ever do that because it's a 4,000 pound car. And it's, yeah, it's...
Not in the Camaro.
Not in the Camaro. Yeah, the ATS the again.
Yeah.
But
not four dudes,
you know,
with legs.
I,
at least.
I'm guilty. I'm guilty. So I remember when my cruise was pretty new back in the day, and I kid you not, the first thing we did was, you know,
hop in it and go for a top speed.
Bo was in college. Hey, look at this car, man! It's got a turbo. You bet. Slam the hood. Put four dudes in it. Let's see what the top speed limiter is. It's 114 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It took us so long to get there.
Yep. Probably like
so you do that in your LTG days, yeah. And then you got to email me and the engine, the forged engine's like, you know, $7,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
so treat it with some respect. It'll return the favor. It's not a bad engine by any means. We see a lot of good cars every day. We tune a lot of good cars every day.
And one great thing that GM paired behind that LTG is some good transmissions.
Like killer transmissions, killer all-wheel drive system.
Yeah.
You know, Tim and I were bantering a little bit today. I sent up killer LTG, 40,000-mile car, all-wheel drive coupe. Tim's like, oh, that's V-money. It is V-money, but it's all-wheel drive. You can drive it every day to work.
Yeah.
And anymore, that car will run 11 fives with parts off the shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
you can drive an ATSV every day to work.
Yeah,
but do you?
Yeah, you bought an LTG all-wheel drive car to do that every day.
Oh, weird.
Weird, right?
Oh, yeah.
Weird. Oh, well, that backfired.
He didn't expect that.
You could have one car that does both. But that would just wouldn't be car guy. That wouldn't be car guy. You definitely got to have two.
No, I mean, it's I love my Regal GS. Love my LTG Regal GS. It is a great car, but it is not a car that I'm going to be like, all right, let's make 400 wheels.
So,
it's a transverse tranny, all-wheel drive, sideways engine. Like, the engine has a parasitic loss of like 100%, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So it is not a car to go super fast with. It's 0 to 60 really quick, and then after that, the ATSs are like, see you later.
So
rear
like,
drive.
I come from the Regal
setup.
One of the best parts about the Regal, obviously, is it does things it's not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Moose has going for it. And so, like, there's been so much, like, literally the doubt you guys are putting in the LTG and its capabilities has, like, sparked this little interest in the back of my head lately to build an ATS that does do the things that nobody thinks it can do.
Yeah.
Because, in theory, it's an incredible platform.
Oh, the chassis is amazing.
The chassis is
pretty good.
The all-wheel drive system impresses me every time I drive one. The seating position, the cockpit, and everything is dialed.
Mm-hmm.
It touches my soft point because it's like this weird generation of GM where they came out of the shitbox era and were transitioning into building really nice cars.
Yeah.
But like it's not overdone.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, they're affordable and they're small. Ish, you know.
Yeah.
It's a cool car. There's just, you know, there's just not guys out there doing them right. And they're just like there's not a lot of 3800 guys out there doing them right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm sure there's 90% of the people building these cars that we sell parts to that are not on the social medias that we see.
Yeah.
But there are still the select few that do. Like I talked about him last week, Robert Thomas. He has two ATSs. His daughters, mm-hmm. They're both all-wheel drive, I think.
Yeah.
Both all-wheel drive run, his is like 11.3 on a Forge Long Block and a Z57.
Yeah.
All-wheel drive, cuts
7163.
Like, yeah.
Z57. Actually, we went back and forth. He didn't know. We were checking some stuff out.
Nobody knows?
I can't remember anymore. It's one of the big
but
ones.
But 11.3, all-wheel drive, like one, what, 4.5, 60 foot? It's not that quick. That's V. But
yeah, so that car, we built that car probably,
a long time ago.
Oh, it was when I started.
Yeah, years ago.
Probably 5 years ago. And it's still rocking. He's done it. A lot of work. Not to knock Thomas's work or Robert's work and all the stuff he's done to it.
But he does Drag Week and like so. To get back to the LTG is unreliable. It's really not that bad.
Yeah, it's really not. I mean, we have so
the Camaro's been together for years. Like
you know what? ZZP's never blown up an LTG.
Until today at 5:09. Because you just said
maybe like years ago. Maybe like years ago, but since I've been here we have not blown up an LTG.
That's been in our house?
I mean our like Ryan's ATS before it was Ryan's ATS was making over 400 wheel and never hurt an engine.
Well, and literally this week, we just installed a stock one in one of our cars on purpose for testing. Yeah. And we'll see how that pans out. That was a junkyard engine on a pallet sideways with a cracked manifold that we, you know, turned up right. And
yeah, and so far it has all four pistons.
So far.
I'm taking it home this weekend. We'll see about that. But, like, seriously, you know. You're
taking the ATS? I want to take the ATS.
If you need to. As long as somebody drives it.
It's fine.
But same thing with the Camaro, like multiple track days, you know, quarter mile, autocross. Yeah. That thing's done everything.
Yeah.
And it's never missed a beat. It's great.
One thing that people might be curious on, and I would definitely like to squeeze in here, is like, all right, so you have the Malibu and Regal. That is a transverse, sideways sitting engine LTG car. Mm-hmm. Definitely the least potential for go fast in a straight line or highway racing the car.
Yeah.
The longitudinal, like, you know, rear drive base ATS and Camaro is a way better platform for making like quarter mile power and like highway racing power. Still, even me knowing that, I have my ATS-V for my racy stuff. I wanted the Regal.
Yeah.
I like the Regal body style. Mm-hmm. I like the Regal seats. Like, I love the Regal. I like that it's all-wheel drive, even though I don't really need it because I have snow tires anyway. But, like, I like the all-wheel drive. I think it's arguable what is a nicer car, the Buick Regal or the ATS.
I love Regals.
The infotainment, you know, side is pretty much the same. The radio quality is pretty much the same. The ATS with the premium sound might be slightly better than the Regal, maybe.
Yep.
I think they're super comparable too.
But like, if you want to go fast on a road course, Camaro hands down.
Yeah.
You got the wide fenders,
big quarter panels. Yeah.
You can fit any wheel and tire you pretty much want to run. And then you have the four-cylinder aluminum engine, so it's like nice and light.
Yep.
The ATS would be a rear-wheel drive ATS would be a great drag car, let's say, or highway racer. If you wanted a car to like stoplight race. Mm-hmm. An all-wheel drive ATS, I would say, would be the car to have. Then you still have pretty low parasitics, but you still have that rear drive, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty low parasitic setup.
I would love to take a all-wheel drive ATS streetcar takeover and run the 12.0 class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that thing would literally, just you could bang, tune bang, it to bang. Run a 12.0 every pass.
Mm-hmm. If you had a rear drive one and you want to run like a 12.0, you're going to have to put slicks on it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to. On an all-wheel drive car, probably not. Probably a set of 200 treadwears or a set of Michelin 4S's, maybe.
Yeah.
You might be able to run like 11s with that.
Yep.
But like a Regal, that's gonna be tough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That first and second gear is fast, but when you get into third, you're like, man, like
this thing's heavy. Yeah.
It's not even the heaviness. It's just that darn transmission. There's something in the transmission.
Yeah. I mean, well, also the Regal is, like Ryan said, 3,800, 4,000 pounds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
I mean, heavier than an ATS. I would argue that
that's that Regal life. Mine weighs the same. They haven't changed it in 20 years.
Yeah, but well, between the Cadillac and the Buick, I think they are both very similar. But maybe the Buick is slightly more refined.
I'd buy the Buick for the girlfriend. I'd buy the Cadillac for you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speedo Jameson, yeah, the LTG Camaro driven by John Ward. I've talked to him a couple times. The dude's great. He's super. Super nice, has fielded all my questions. But yeah, he went on to win, I think, the SCCA Solo Nats in a basically stock LTG Camaro. Killer. Like,
yeah, that's cool.
You know, tires and obviously all that. But great engine, great car, great platform. I know
we're around it every day, and they grow on me more and more. I'm at the point where I'd almost rather have an LTG than an ATS-V. I don't know what's gotten into me. Besides the noises they make.
Yeah.
You cannot beat that V exhaust.
That deep.
It's phenomenal.
It's so good.
Oh my gosh. It just does the best noises. It's...
I know.
All right.
So makes real good noise.
Randy's got to go. We're past five. We'll go around real quick. What are you guys doing this weekend? Tim start
Easter.
Off.
I got some bowling.
It's Easter?
Got some family coming over.
Bowling,
yep. Bowling and family stuff.
There you go.
I'm going to go play a concert tonight, and then tomorrow I'm going to work on the carcass of Green Car. Try to get some stuff tidied so I can get it in the shop. Make an engine and the thing and do some stuff.
Make some noise.
That's about it.
All right. nothing planned, which is fantastic. I don't believe you. Erica's going out tomorrow with her friends, which means I'm going to poke around in the garage all afternoon and probably drink too many highlights. So that'll be great. What about you, Bo?
Sinful, I sent you an update today. I'm full Easter duty. I got both sides of the family.
You're just out there working for Jesus?
What's going on? Collecting eggs?
Full Easter duty. I'm going to be hiding so many eggs.
I've got eggs hidden in my house already for Sunday.
Yeah, nice.
Like, I have to look at all these eggs all over the place. Nice. And I'm like, oh, there's one. Oh, okay.
Nice. And other than that, I'm just going to look at the Regal and wish that it was time to get it out.
Yep. We're close.
Getting close.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We'll catch you next week. ZGP Power Hour. If anyone has any suggestions on what we should ramble about for an hour, send them over.
We
love those.
We'll probably title it the episode that and then not talk about
it. And then we'll talk about
that. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So on that bombshell, we'll catch you next week. Peace. Guys.